May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Don't be a fool from our gospel lesson for today. There is something very unique in this parable, this teaching. This is the first time in the gospels that God directly calls a character a fool. Now, the Bible contains whole sections where it talks about foolish actions. But in this scripture, in this parable, he directly calls, bluntly calls this character a fool. A fool, by biblical definition, we had it in our liturgy today, is one who forgets God, forgets others, doesn't consider their own mortality. A fool does not tend to his or her soul. That's a fool. What causes this character to be designated as a fool? Again, Jesus told us parables so that we could see ourselves as we really are. This parable can really speak to our generation. Yes, we don't often consider ourselves rich. Do you consider yourself rich? Most people say, I'm not rich, I'm this, whatever. And we certainly don't think we are acting foolishly in life. But you and I have more in common with the character in the parable than we would like to admit. There are few of us whose lives are not dominated in one way or another by the pervasive materialism of our age. We have a desire for more. We have a desire for better. Money is a great influencer in our decisions. What we say yes to, what we say no to. Jesus, of course, knew that money and covetousness was and is a great rival of himself. He said it clearly, you cannot serve both God and mammon money at the same time. This is why Jesus spoke about money so often. 16 of the 34 parables that he told have as a subject matter, or at least something to do with money. There are 500 verses in the Bible that concern prayer, but there are 2,500 verses that talk about money. Watch out, be on alert on all covetousness and greed, because one's life does not consist, is not to be judged by the abundance of their possessions. Covetousness and greed is the inordinate desire for riches, grasping, extorting, scheming, thirsting for them, doing everything you can to have more. Martha Beckman writes in her book about one day spooning out some ice cream for her granddaughter. And she looks at her granddaughter and said, "How much do you want?" And the granddaughter thinks for a moment, and then she responds this way, "Give me too much." Give me too much. It's often true that we envy the rich. We're fascinated by billionaires. How many fantasized over winning that billion-dollar lottery? Did you even give it a thought? Probably you did. What would I do with the money? It'd be much better than others. I'd be much more charitable than others. Didn't you think that? Of course you did. Right. We envy the rich. Jesus pities them. He pities them. So how do we avoid becoming a fool instead of becoming rich toward God? There are 3 points, 3 ways that I'm going to suggest to you that we can keep from becoming fools. Number one, check your attitude toward money. Number two, don't let money own you, possess you. And number three, take God into account about everything. So number one, check your attitude. The issue is not about how much money you have or how little you have. It's your attitude toward it. The poor can be as greedy as the rich. Isn't that true? Absolutely, it's true. The question for Christians must ask ourselves is, how are we going to handle the money, the wealth that God has entrusted to us? Entrusted to us. You don't have to answer this, but if you will, that'd be fine too. How many of you have a financial planner or a money manager? A few of you do. What if that person, he or she, started thinking of your money as their money and started spending it on things that they wanted, using your money, right? And they had different priorities than you. They wanted to go to the racetrack, right? They wanted to this and that. But it was your money, but they're doing it. What do we call this? Embezzlement? Robbery? Don't we call it that? Right. So who gave us our money? God did. He entrusts us with it. As we often say in church setting, we are stewards of God's money. And our priorities in spending it ought to be His priorities, right? A very rich American in a previous century said he did not succumb to the materialism of the age because he was taught by his parents and followed this rule. Everything he possessed was either an idol or a tool. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Everything is either an idol or a tool. There is a way to know if you're on the fool's pathway. It is whether you're increasingly a generous person or increasingly a stingy, stubborn person with your money. How did you use the money that God gave you? That God gave you. How did you use it? Were you charitable? Are you big-hearted with others? Were you benevolent? Were you kind to the poor? Did you give to your church, to ministries of gospel, and organizations for the spread of the gospel? If you see money as the only a means to your pleasure and not the opportunity to serve a hurting world, then you're on the fool's pathway. You're becoming a fool. We are and can be the presence of Jesus in this world. And Jesus was extremely generous. We're already materially rich, aren't we? How many of you have two cars in your family? Some of you have three. Some of you have two, but one's broken down. We're all in different places. Yeah, we're materially rich. And God delights in giving us our possessions. He delights in it. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Give us today our daily steak, our bread, right? Give us our daily needs. And He does. And we're witnesses of that. We're experiencing that. But God has made us rich enough to be generous with others. May your attitude toward money allow you to be just that, overflowing with generosity. Number two, if we're to avoid becoming a fool, we must not let money possess us, money or possessions. The Apostle Paul writes in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 6, but godliness and contentment is great gain. But if we who brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, let us therewith be content. People who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I want to emphasize two words from that. Temptation and trap. We're lured into a trap where monies, our possessions, shackle us. We're deluded. We think we're using our possessions, our money, but they're really using us. Let me give you an example. Money makes decisions for us. What job to take, who should be our friends, who to marry, whether we should move or not, even what church we might go to. Money. Our decisions are not about what is right, but what will cost us the most or earn us the most. That is money possessing us. That is money taking control of our life. Now, greed is like an octopus. It gets its tentacles around our heart, often very gradually. It's a trap. It's a snare and causes the destruction of our soul. One of the terrible false teachings of our day is the prosperity gospel. According to its tenets, it teaches us that if you are a faithful and good person, a believing person, that you're going to be rich, you're going to be wealthy, or at least on the way to it. And if you're poor, it's because you just don't have enough faith, because you're not living in that God sphere, right? Jesus directly condemns this kind of teaching, because you know it was the teaching of the Pharisees. This is what they believed, you know? If you're faithful to God, you're going to be rich. And they looked down on poor people because obviously they didn't have enough faith and they weren't good. There were evil residing in them. Yeah, Jesus condemned it. In fact, Jesus says this. He tells us it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, let's understand this. Were there rich people in the Bible? Okay, let's... Give me one. Who was a rich person in the Bible? Abraham. Very good. How about over here? Solomon. Nicodemus. Joseph of Arimathea. Any others? Lydia. We can make this sermon longer if you like. Let's. yeah, right. So to me, Abraham is a good example. He was wealthy, but do you see how detached he was from his health, wealth? It just didn't seem to make his decisions for him. Abraham acted as if money was, yeah, he was wealthy and probably didn't even know how he got to be wealthy. He knew God provided, but just acted. Jesus did the same thing. Jesus just had this. He knew that it was from God. He knew. He didn't worry about money. Of course, he didn't sin. I don't see Abraham worrying either. Somebody asked, I wonder how much money that certain billionaire left after he died. And a wise friend said, he left all of it. All right? How do you keep it from possessing you? How do you keep possessions and money from dictating your life? With the Spirit's help, devalue money and possessions. Put them out of your mind as much as possible. Do not consider them important. Certainly not how you value other people, right? Break the hold. And listen, if you feel it gripping your life, give it away. Give it away. If you think a possession is so valuable, you got to hold on to it, someday it'll be pried from your hands. If you want to break it, give it away. Loosen your grip on all that you own. Number three, if you don't want to be a fool, let God, His voice, His love, obedience to Him be big in your life. Be big in your life. Notice something about this parable. This is very interesting. The man has a conversation with himself, with his own soul, and not with God. He acts like God doesn't even exist. He lived as if the highest purpose in life was his own pleasure. His security was not in God's promises. It was in his bank account. How misled he was. How short-sighted he was. Didn't he know that Judgment Day was fast approaching and he would have to give an account for his life? You're going to have to give an account for your life and what you did with what was entrusted to you. I know we have forgiveness, thank God, because we've used our possessions sometimes not in a God-honoring way. But God is a gracious God. He didn't know the parable, the character in the parable. He didn't know how poor he really was. He didn't know it. The deceitfulness of riches led him away from the true God to a false one. In Paul's second letter in Corinthians, chapter 8, while talking about taking an offering from the Gentiles to the Jews who were experiencing a drought, Paul says something exceedingly important, exceedingly. He writes this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." You. Do you want to be rich toward God? It's not a matter of money or possessions. Not at all. It's about Jesus and what he did for us. He was beyond rich when he was in heaven before he was sent to earth. And when he was sent to earth, according to God's plan, he was to head to the cross. He didn't have a penny to his name. All material possessions, all money was stripped from him. He was to go to a cross where they stripped him naked. Really kind of a metaphor for what he gave up. Everything was taken from him. His disciples scattered. Even God's love, the Father's love, was taken away from him. All he was left was utter pain and agony. And this, according to God's plan, he was forsaken. All of this we deserve, not him. But it was the Father's plan. He took our spiritual poverty, and yes, our material poverty, and our sins upon himself, and he gave us the Father's love and the Father's forgiveness. My friends, if you follow these points that I've made, the 3 points, check the attitude about your money and possessions. Don't let money possess you. Take God into account with everything. You're well on your way to being the opposite of a fool, to be very wise indeed. We would be fools to take the richness of the world over the richness of Christ's grace. By faith, we are the richest people in the world. When you have faith, you're rich indeed. Let nothing come between you and your Savior, and you'll never, ever be a fool. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and always.